RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Jakarta police to secure first day of OIC summit. Social media affirms Indonesia will be radial area free by 2019. Now the news in detail. Inspector General Tito Karnavian said on Tuesday that Jakarta Metropolitan Police Command will be fully in charge of the security of the first day of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC summit on March 6. He said the National Police Headquarters will extend support with its personnel. The police will also be fully involved in the security of the first day of the meeting because it can only be attended by senior officials, and the VIP and non-VVIP security system will be used instead. On the second day of the event on Monday, a VVIP security system will be in place because heads of state would be present at the meeting. Based on the VVIP security procedures, presidential security forces will be stationed in Ring 1 as the main focus, while police personnel will act as a supporting forces. Indonesian Social Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa has targeted to eradicate brothel complex in Indonesia by 2019. She affirmed that to date, 99 brothel complexes are still in operation. Speaking on Tuesday, Minister Kofifa said that of the 99 brothel complexes, 35 are located in East Kalimantan, 12 of which are in Kutai Kartanegara. She called on East Kalimantan Gapura and Kutai Kartanegara region to gradually shut down the complexes. Meanwhile, East Java Governor Soekarwo admitted that he has difficulty to shut down the brothel complex in Mojokerto, citing that the complex is currently housing three groups of people, namely micro, small and medium enterprises, homeless shelters, and a group of panderers. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution plans to remove minimum authorized capital for local limited liability company of 50 million rupiah. Speaking at his office in Jakarta on Friday, Minister Darmin said that the policy is targeted not only for micro, small and medium enterprises but also for all companies. He also pointed out that the minimum amount of authorized capital for the establishment of a small and medium enterprises will be decided by the relevant parties. However, he declined to explain the form of regulation, saying that the government will announce it at the end of the month. PT Pertamina Geothermal Energy (PGE) will drill 5 exploration wells in Lawu, East Java this year. The drilling plan was made after the company won the geothermal working areas tender held by the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources last year. PGE Corporate Secretary Tafid Azimuddin said on Tuesday that his office must conduct a preliminary survey prior to drilling to obtain the accurate data. The Pertamina Geothermal subsidiary has earmarked $50 million US or around 663 billion rupiah for this plant. It is estimated that the drilling would cost $10 million US per well, with a 50% success ratio. PGE is currently working to obtain a geothermal business license in that area of the Energy Ministry. One of the requirements to get the license is to deposit a commitment fund worth $10 million US. PGE plans to use geothermal energy from the wells for 165-megawatt geothermal power plant. The geothermal ward area is estimated to have energy resource of 199 megawatts. An earthquake with magnitude 7.8 Richter scale struck West Sumatra at the depth of 10 kilometers on Wednesday, March 3rd. On Tuesday afternoon, 11 earthquakes still flood the region, Head of Data and Information National Disaster Mitigation Agency Sutopo Purwonugroho said the quake would not cause tsunami because the fault that occurred is a horizontal fracture. Sutopo ensured earthquake that occurred on Wednesday night did not cause significant damage and casualties.
Dan tadi malam, gesesarnya hanya menggeser seperti ini, otomatis.
Last night, the fracture was only friction. Automatically, this did not generate a large tsunami. Its area is located on the outside of the plate or out of a geological risk outbed. We have got the information of the 64 districts with status alert and danger. It was be reported there were no casualties, no damage to the building, and tsunami did not come in the region. Sutopo Purwonugroho further explained various efforts had been made on which President Joko Widodo has instructed the head of the BNPB to be present in the field. Quick response team was already in Mentawai and had coordinated with the Meteorology and Geophysics Agency and the Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency. Logistical assistance and equipment have also been prepared. The local government has also activated sirens tsunami and the community has responded to the tsunami evacuee to shelters and places that are considered safe. The last item, first earthquake in Mentawai Island on Wednesday, the National Agency for Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB will continue the master plan for disaster risk reduction tsunami in Indonesia. Data and Information of National Disaster Mitigation Agency Sutopo Purwonugroho in a press conference on Tuesday explained the Master Plan of Disaster Risk Reduction Program Tsunami has been prepared by the National Disaster Mitigation Agency since the tsunami in Mentawai in 2012 and had been running for 2013 to 2014. There are four major programs in the Master Plan.
Ada empat program besar di sini. Satu, penguatan rantai peringatan dini tsunami, mulai bangun sirinenya.
There are four major programs. First, we strengthen tsunami early warning chain, starting from sirens building, information system, seismic detection devices, and so forth. Second, we build and improve evacuation shelters. Third, we improve the capacity of preparedness and disaster risk reduction, including the construction of operation control center. The Disaster Response Center reports training, logistic equipment, contingency plans, and support. Fourth, we develop disaster equipment industry.
Logistik, peralatan, rencana kontingensi, dan lainnya. Yang keempat, pembangunan kemandirian industri perencanaan.
Sutopo Purwonugroho also said the construction of disaster equipment industry is very important because until now the tools of disaster relief actions are still imported from abroad. He explained that the Tsunami Risk Reduction Master Plan ran only until 2014 due to lack of funding. The earthquake in Sumatra on Wednesday, according to Sutopo, is a momentum for the government to go back to the master plan. Sutopo explained there are four areas that urgently need tsunami risk reduction system. They are North Sumatra, West Sumatra Bengkulu, which is meeting the Indian-Australian plates. Other areas are southern part of Java, which is densely populated and has strategic infrastructure, Maluku and Papua. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled New Sanction of UN Against North Korea. Finally, United Nations Security Council passed a resolution imposing new sanction against North Korea. The resolution, which was approved last Wednesday, was a reaction to nuclear tests launched by North Korea on January 6 and satellite launch on February 7. The 14 of 15 executive members of the UN Security Council was delayed a day due to Russian request within 24 hours for inspection of document and draft resolution. The resolution of the UN Security Council will give a huge economic impact for North Korea and is very influential on the project for nuclear test. The resolution was led by the United States and China, banning all export of mining products such as coal, iron ore, gold, and titanium ore. The UN Security Council also set a ban to UN member states not to supply all kinds of aviation fuels, including rocket fuel. If earlier the sanction was that the council called on all states to inspect cargo items of North Korea by reason of any illicit cargo, this new regulation requires all member states to inspect all goods coming from and sent to North Korea or passing through the country. Indeed, the UN Security Council resolution is aimed at stopping the experiment and nuclear tests of North Korea. As known, despite criticism and caused controversy, North Korea still carries out nuclear tests and missile launches. The country is blatantly violating the United Nations Security Council resolution previously agreed, and North Korea ignored the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, CTBT. Dismissing Paris criticism, Pyongyang declared that the nuclear tests and missile launches satellite charge it for the future development of science and technology. Resolution has been set, and the sanction of UN Security Council ratified immediately. North Korea will face the impact of sanctions, especially in terms of economy, sources of income from export of coal. Iron ore, gold, titanium, and others are stopped. Previously, Indonesia has warned Pyongyang to stop nuclear tests because it can be considered as a provocation. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi expressed that Indonesia called for North Korea to obey the UN resolution. Is it reasonable for North Korea to eventually stop its nuclear tests? International communities are still waiting for further development. Indeed, there is still chance for Pyongyang to engage in a dialogue or talks with the six-party members such as China, United States, Japan, and South Korea. Thus, the world's communities have to wait how the attitude of the government of Pyongyang will be next. Listener, that was commentary today, presented by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start with a historical event on March 4, 1980. Robert Mugabe became the first black prime minister in Zimbabwe. Robert Gabriel Mugabe, who was born on February 21, 1924, is the current president of Zimbabwe, serving since December 22, 1987. As one of the leaders of the rebel groups against white minority rule, he was elected as prime minister, head of government, on March 4, 1980, and served in that office until 1987. He has led the Zimbabwe African National Union Patriotic Front, or ZANU-PF, since 1975. Mugabe rose to prominence in the 1960s as the leader of the Zimbabwe African National Union, ZANU, during the conflict against the conservative white minority government of Rhodesia. Mugabe was a political prisoner in Rhodesia for more than 10 years between 1964 and 1974. Upon release, Mugabe, along with Edgar Tekeri, immediately left Rhodesia with the assistance of Rikayi Tangwena in 1975 to launch the fight during the Rhodesian Bush War from bases in Mozambique. At the end of the war in 1979, Mugabe emerged as a hero in the minds of many Africans. On March 4, 1980, the inauguration of Louvre Pyramid. President of Republic of France, François Mitterrand, inaugurated the main entrance new building of the Louvre Museum in Paris. The pyramid-shaped building made of glass and steel structures. The architect of the building, namely IMP, was an American-Chinese descent. The Great Pyramid of steel and glass was built with a height of 21 meters with a diamond formation of glass amounted to 673. The idea of the modern construction makes the pros and cons on the ancient artistic museum, but the Louvre glass pyramid eventually became icons of the building in Paris. We end today's segment of Today in History with a story about coup trial led by Chavez in Venezuela. Hugo Rafael Chavez Frias led the coup d'etat against Venezuelan President Carlos Andres Perez, but failed. He and some of his comrades in arms were later detained, but finally released 2 years later. In 1988, Chavez went forward in the general election, and finally in 1999, he became president of Venezuela until nowadays. Listeners, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus, entitled Indonesia is ready to organize OIC Summit Conference. Alarming conditions in the city of Jerusalem or Al-Quds Al-Sharif forcing the organization of the Islamic Conference OIC held an extraordinary summit conference in Jakarta, Indonesia on March 6 to 7. It is hoped there is an effective way out to relieve tension in the Palestinian land, which is now annexed by Israel. In a discussion related to the implementation of the summit, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi in Jakarta Wednesday said, "In the extraordinary summit of the OIC, there are two things that will be generated, namely political appeals and declarations. Jakarta chapter, so Indonesia should be able to take a valuable opportunity for the Indonesian nation." Meanwhile, in a press briefing of the OIC Extraordinary Summit Thursday, March 3rd, Director General of Multilateral Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Hassan Kleib, said, "From the confirmation by March 3rd, it has been confirmed 47 countries from the 56 members of OIC will send delegates on March 6 to 7 in Jakarta." Hassan Kleib also said that the OIC Extraordinary Summit actually will take place in Morocco, but the country cannot undertake it, then move to Indonesia. Originally, the OIC Summit will take place in Turkey on April 14th, which will address all issues that occurred in the Islamic countries, while the Extraordinary Summit of the OIC in Jakarta, Indonesia, only specifically discuss on Jerusalem and Al-Quds Al-Sharif. Hassan Kleib further explained, on March 6, there will be two sessions, namely high-level meetings or senior official meeting, then continue with the ministerial meeting. Hassan Kleib asserted, the meeting of high-level and ministerial level will be held in private and the observer and observers are not allowed to attend. On March 7, at the meeting of heads of state and government, observers and observateurs are allowed to follow the meeting, although it is also a closed-door meeting. The heads of state government meeting will begin at 8:30. Three countries, namely Egypt, Indonesia, and Palestine, as well as the OIC Secretary General, will lead the meeting. According to Hassan Kleib, on the OIC Extraordinary Summit, representatives of the United Nations Security Council and non-permanent members of the UN will present, plus two observers from the two countries, as well as the Quartet of Middle East Peace, especially Palestine, European Union, United Nations, the United States, and Russia. Head of Information and Public Relations Center, Ministry of Communication and Information, Chawidu Ismail, said there are already registered more than 540 journalists from Indonesia and abroad for the OIC summit. However, according to Ismail Chawidu, the journalists are mostly from the Middle East countries. The Ministry of Communications and Information has set up a special area which can accommodate 500 journalists, equipped by the most advanced infrastructure of information and technology to support the event. Meanwhile, Chief of Metro Jakarta Regional Police Inspector General Tito Karnavian said Metro Jakarta Regional Police alerts 4,200 personnel to secure the OIC Extraordinary Summit Conference. That was The Focus.
Listener, it's nice to be at you again. I'm Hirmana Rahmana to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Friday 4th of March 2016. While we start highlighting the headline of Tempo newspaper, it writes Minister Risa Ramli accused by Fasint, President Joko Widodo. The outcry of internal working cabinet enters a new phase. The figure is Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Risa Ramli. The cause is that Minister Rizal is considered to change the name of his ministry into Minister of Maritime and Resources without the approval of President Joko Widodo. With the name change, according to Minister Rizal, the authority of institution can be extended further into the real sector. The reason is that the sector is able to create added value. The name change, according to him, will also be followed by the addition of two ministers under his coordination. But apparently, the name change is only claimed unilaterally. After quipping Minister Risa Ramli by saying there is a minister who arbitrarily changes the nomenclature of the ministry, Vice President Yusuf Kalla remarked that there would be no change in the nomenclature. Listener, while Media Indonesia Daily writes in its headline today, permanent working cabinet is solid, President Joko Widodo will summon the minister that indulgence. Disagreement in public space to be evaluated. Even so, the cabinet working certainly remains solid. Presidential spokesman Johan Budi said that President Joko Widodo gives special attention regarding the polemic between Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Risa Ramli and Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said about processing gas in Masela Block, Maluku. Johan Budi also affirmed that President Joko Widodo accommodates difference of opinion as long as voice in the right way, like in a cabinet meeting. The head of state also reminded all ministers to be one patient with the president. Evaluation on the ministers who have different opinions will be soon carried out and they will be called. Listener, Republika newspaper writes mega trust could be affected. National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB asked the public to be aware of a major earthquake followed by tsunami in Mentawai Island, West Sumatra. The warning came after an earthquake measuring 7.8 on the Richter scale on Wednesday. Head of Data and Public Relations of BNPB, Sutopo Purwanugroho, reminded that the earthquakes could trigger tsunami. He also said the phenomenon of underwater earthquake that occurred in the Mentawai is a tsunami potential because the epicenter was between 0 until 20 kilometers under the sea with a magnitude greater than 6.5 on Richter scale. He said the worst damage caused by the earthquake would occur in subduction zones. According to Stopo, if the subduction zone experiences a fault, earthquake happens due to the sensor up and down. He thought that this is the cause of the tsunami. Nevertheless, BNPB has not been able to decide when and where exactly the tsunami will occur. Listener, that was some headlines of national newspaper published today on March 4, 2016. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news brief read by Rahmana. Inspector General Tito Karnavian said on Tuesday that Jakarta Metropolitan Police Command will be fully in charge of the security of the first day of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation Summit on March 6. Indonesian Social Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa has targeted to eradicate brothel complex in Indonesia by 2019. She affirmed that to date, 99 brothel complexes are still in operation. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution plans to remove minimum authorized capital for local limited liability company of 5 million rupiah. PT Pertamina Geothermal Energy PGE will drill 5 exploration wells in Lawu, East Java this year. The drilling plan was made after the company won the geothermal working area tender held by the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources last year. An earthquake with magnitude 7.8 Richter scale struck West Sumatra at the depth of 10 kilometers on Wednesday, March 3rd. On Tuesday afternoon, 11 earthquakes still shocked the region. Worst earthquake in Mentawai Island on Wednesday, the National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB will continue the master plan for disaster risk reduction tsunami in Indonesia. Head of Data and Information of National Disaster Mitigation Agency Sutopo Purwonugroho in a press conference on Tuesday explained the master plan of disaster risk reduction program tsunami has been prepared by the National Disaster Mitigation Agency since tsunami in Mentawai in 2012 and had been running for 2013 to 2014. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit the province of Central Kalimantan. Stay tuned. Kahayan is one of the longest rivers in Kalimantan Island, which divides Palangkaraya, the capital city of Central Kalimantan, into two parts. The river has an area of 81,648 square kilometers, 600 kilometers long, 500 meters wide, and up to 7 meters depth. The river is commonly called the Biaju Besar or Dayak Besar River and has a very unique shape because it looks like bay. Not only unique, Kahayan also has a beautiful landscape with the atmosphere of the Dayak tribe in it. With its uniqueness, the river is exploited by the local government as a location for water tourism object. It is not difficult to get the Kahayan River water tourism because it is located in Palangkaraya city center. It takes only 30 minutes drive from Cilik Riwut Airport to Palangkaraya Town Square. Then from the square, only it takes about 10 minutes to get to the site. There are available several packages firstly the regular package down to Kahyan for 3 to 4 hours by traditional boat called Klotok. You will be charged 75,000 rupiah per person. The type of boat can accommodate up to 20 passengers. Besides, you can also go around Kahyan River by a vessel that can accommodate 8 to 9 people with a rental fee of 250,000 rupiah per hour. Other package is more expensive, which is between 10 million to 15 million rupiah by using a large ship that has complete facilities such as bedrooms, restaurant, bathrooms, as well as a snack bar and karaoke room for family. With the ship, you will travel down the Kahyan River for 24 hours. Listener, during down the river, you will be treated to a view of typical forest of Kalimantan. Along the way, you can see the unique fauna of Kalimantan that cannot be found anywhere else, including orangutan, uwa-uwa, grey macaque, and proboscis. You can also see floating houses scenery around the river, which are still very simple and different from the settlements in other big cities. During visiting the area of Kahyan, you may also stop at the fishing grounds or historical sites called Nyaru Menteng, the place of orangutan's conservation in Kajak Island. In this tourism area, you will be allowed to enter with a predetermined time. In the Nyaru Menteng, you can see a wide variety of Kalimantan unique animals, such as macaca fascicularis, long-tailed grey monkey, hanging and jumping through the trees, uwa-uwa, lutong, lizard, and proboscis monkeys. To welcome the natural phenomenon of total solar eclipse on the upcoming March 9th, the city of Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan, setting up water travel in Kahyan to serve tourists. Local government has built and repaired the floating cafe in Kahyan, especially in the area of the Flamboyan Bawah, Palangkaraya. On the total solar eclipse event, Palangkaraya will receive 14 ambassadors of friendly countries. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kahyan River Water Tourism. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we present you the benefit of jamu for health. Jamu is a traditional medicine from Indonesia. Recently, it is popularly called as herbal medicine. Jamu is made of natural ingredients in the form of parts of trees like roots, leaves, stem skin, and fruit. Jamu usually tastes bitter, so that honey is added to make it sweet. There is even jamu which is added with grape essence. Besides reducing bitter taste, grape essence serves to warm up the body. Asi, jamu seller, explain what jamu she sells. Dubbing insert satu asi. I sell kunyit asem, kunyit tawar, temulawak, sambiloto, and beras kencur. Traditional jamu is made of natural ingredients such as from plants mixed in jamu powder or a drink. It is good for body's health and warmth. According to Asi, every kind of jamu has particular benefit for body's health. Dubbing insert 2 Asi. Kunyit asem or turmeric and tamarind smoothens blood flow. For women in period, it can remove smelly scent. While sirih or betel is antibiotic, it can cure sariawan or mouth sore, especially for those who smoke. Temulawak is good for liver and appetite. The selling of kinds and number of jamu varies a lot for every seller. It depends on habit they learn from customers, which jamu that is sold the most. For jamu using sweetener, jamu makers will use Javanese sugar, granulated sugar or rock sugar, which is sugar in the form of big crystal-like chunk of stone. Jamu which uses artificial sweetener violates the rule and strays from the purpose of the making of jamu, namely to keep body's health. This jamu is not sold easily in Indonesia. Ministry of Health through research and development of medicinal plant and traditional medicine agency under Medical Research and Development Agency always does research on every benefit of medicinal plant used in the making of jamu. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on jamu for health. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian male dangdut singer named Wawan Asmara. Before we talk more about him, let's enjoy a song called Dua Hati or Two Hearts. Happy listening.
Sampai
Listener, Wawan Asmara had been through a quiet long journey to gain fame in the Indonesian entertainment world. Wawan Asmara began his career in 2000 as a presenter, vocalist, and songwriter. Unexpectedly, the man born in Cilacap, Central Java on December 22, 1974, can build Dangdut Singers community. In 2007, Wawan released his first album with the single Shahara. Another single was released entitled Cassandra. After that, Wawan developed his career as an artist agent for a show and backed up some Indonesian singers such as Benny Barswara, Eva Hasan, duo Shine, and Kalimantan official Rustam Fuadi to enter recording studio. Well, listener, now we listen to a song by Wawan Asmara entitled Shahara. Enjoy.
Thank you.
listener, Wawan Asmara revealed that dangdut music has become part of his life. As a musician, Wawan revealed that a chance to gain success is open a lot, as long as the singer performs qualified vocal and stage act. With those qualities, Wawan Asmara hoped that Duo The Shine could compete with their seniors in dangdut music industry. The Shine is dangdut duo under his guidance. The Shines then released a single taken from their debut album with the same title. He hoped dangdut music lovers in Indonesia enjoy the song.
Menjadi gunung, setetes air bisa jadi lantai. Apabila kita mau saling usaha, memang pertemuan kita awal dari orang tua. Dalam lubuk hati tak ada dasar cinta.
Listener, to end the program, here are two closing songs by Wawan Asmara entitled Terluka or Hurt and Cassandra. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
Ooh,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.